What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to episode 158 of Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's almost the end of the year.
Yep.
2018 has been quite a year.
It has.
Pop culture and movies and TV. And
2019 is going to be a big year also for pop culture.
It is going to be a big year. Did you see that article recently about how Avengers is now the most anticipated movie in 2019?
Yep.
Bumping Star Wars
down
to, I think it has to be the number two spot.
Yeah. And I believe it. I mean, this is going to be a big movie. So,
I think it would be different if The Last Jedi was received a little differently than it was. I did, I will admit, I did finally watch it for the third time a couple weeks ago as I was wrapping Christmas presents. It was just one of those Star Wars movies that, I mean, usually I see things at least five or six times in the theater. I only saw it twice. And I'm still not convinced that I'm ever going to truly embrace the movie. Great elements, some amazing fight scenes, space scenes, but I still can't get behind the story. And I hope that J.J. Abrams has some pretty big tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah, because he's got to pull it back together.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Jedi really tore fans apart, I think, so...
Yeah, just like it tore Luke's lightsaber.
Right.
Okay, so what are you watching right now before we get too far?
Well, honestly, HBO is right now marathoning Game of Thrones. So my dad and I have been binge watching it again. We're on season four now. So it's just nice to go back and watch it. And just seeing all the subtle hints. It's pretty crazy when you see stuff and you're like, oh, now I know what happened. So like that makes sense. So it's fun to go back and watch it knowing what's coming. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. And probably you pick up those little things that.
Yeah. There was a lot of foreshadowing that at the time you don't know what it means, but it just shows how brilliant that show really is. The writing, all of it. So.
Yeah. And so we were also talking about you watched the holiday episode of
the solstice episode of Sabrina. Yeah, I did. I really enjoy Sabrina. It's a lot of fun. I love it's dark and kind of campy, and it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, the cat needs more to do, but I'm sure that's a budget. That was a budget issue for the first season, but now it's been picked up for seasons 3 and 4. I have a feeling that their budget's going to be bumped up just a little bit.
Yeah. So, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Hopefully they can.
It's turned into a huge hit for Netflix. So.
Yeah. And also, have you watched Bird Box yet?
I have. I loved Bird Box.
Really?
I did. I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence about it, but I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's a great film, but or like a masterpiece, but I really enjoyed it. So.
No.
I love Sandra Bullock.
How does it compare to A Quiet Place?
I would say A Quiet Place is better, in my opinion, just because it's a little, I don't know, the story's better, I think, in A Quiet Place, I think. I don't know. It's just the plot, I think, was better than Bird Box. Bird Box is still enjoyable. Still recommend seeing it.
Yeah, that is on my list for tomorrow, actually.
Good. Yeah, but you'll like it.
I love Sandra Bullock.
I love her so much.
And of course, Netflix is saying that it's been the biggest movie,
right?
That they've had so far. So, and it kind of goes along with Netflix. I think just announced recently that they are going to be producing and streaming 90 new films for 2019. So,
you know, and I think, I mean, Bird Box, I mean, honestly, it could have been a theater release kind of movie. You know, I think it just shows the kind of power that Netflix has now, that because there are a lot of big names in this. I mean, Sandra Bullock, Sarah Paulson, John Malkovich. I mean, there's a really lot of important people in this movie. And so, and I think it could have been a wide release film, but.
Well, and I think what they did with it initially was there were a couple locations that played it for like a weekend.
Oh, okay.
LA, New York, Sacramento, or San Francisco. So this could be a new model that we're looking at, and maybe one that Netflix is testing out, where you play it in theaters for a couple days or a week, they can see it on the big screen, and then they open it up to the streaming service. So that's not a bad idea, especially, you know, if it's a kind of a big event movie, which sounds like that one kind of was, with scope and things like that, just to kind of give the theaters a little bit of you know, they have a little bit of control without completely taking it all away from them and just going right to streaming.
Right.
But it kind of sounds like it's going to be a game changer.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty impressive. There's like 45 million people who watched it like on the first day or something like that. So.
Well, and you have to wonder, because Netflix is still a little secretive when it comes to using information. So it's like, did they finish the movie? Did they start the movie?
Right.
You know, what does that look like? But that's all right. So real quick, speaking of movies, I posted a blog on our A Gal and a Gay podcast.com. I use Tumblr, even though a lot of people are not using Tumblr anymore.
I use the porn away.
Right. I have a feeling it'll be back. But anyway, I did just a quick
blog. Finds a way.
Right. I did a quick blog on your favorite Christmas movies. So if you guys want to take a look, I looked at Batman Returns and Gremlins and kind of went into that just a little bit. We have a couple other blogs that we're working on for the start of the year, including how Princess Leia, that character, and Carrie Fisher, her influence on gays growing up. So that'll be one of my next blogs.
Would you say that she had a big influence on you growing up? I mean, obviously you're a huge Star Wars fan, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because I didn't realize it until I got older, some of the influences that she had. Obviously she had an incredible influence on women and how strong she was, but it also kind of translated for gay kids too, because she was shown as someone who was not Luke or Han and in those situations, but yet she was able to take control. And, well, I'll save it for the blog, but who was able to take control and show people, just, it doesn't matter if you're the typical hero, you still have a voice and you can still take control and become a strong character, no matter what position you find yourself in.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
So I guess, blog. Yeah. So let's talk about Podbean. So Podbean is our the host site for our podcast, and it has been since 2014. We are in year 4, going into year 5 of our podcast, which is pretty exciting for
us. I know. I cannot believe it's been that long.
I can't either. And I mean, we've had this is our 158th episode. So it's really exciting for us. Well, Podbean this week released their own sort of blog about the diverse voices and the podcast that they recommend for LGBTQ. And we are so honored to be the very first podcast that they nominated and mentioned in this article.
Yeah, so they mentioned several different podcasts that are either hosted by people of the LGBTQ community, or their characters are the covering topics about LGBTQ issues. And so there's a whole bunch. Aside from us, there's a one called Homo Ground, Queer Music Podcast, LGBTQ and A Podcast, The Bright Sessions, Queery with Cameron Esposito, a gay and a non-gay, which I like that title too.
Yeah. It's kind of like our cousin. They're our cousins.
They're our cousins. Exactly. History is Gay, Psychobabble, and Throwing Shade. Those are just a few that they tagged, and you should definitely check out, because it's always nice to hear different voices, as they say, different voices, different perspectives. So
yeah,
nice to support the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. And my goal is to reach out to each one of these podcasts and maybe have them do like a little quick conversation with them, have them tell us about our podcast. And we might do that over the next couple months.
Yeah.
Just to kind of introduce our audiences to each other and how it is important to make sure that we support other diverse voices in the podcast universe.
Absolutely. So thank you, Podbean, for doing that. It was really a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
For fantastic. Us. Yeah. So,
and we've loved podcast or Podbean ever since we started our
podcast. Yeah, I mean, they've been great since we started this podcast. They're a great hosting site. So if you are thinking about starting your own podcast, check out Podbean, because it's very easy to use. And again, they've been very supportive. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So before we get to our interview segment for this podcast, which is with a sex expert. It's a lot of fun, but before we get to that, I want to talk real briefly about two movies that I saw in the last couple weeks. The first one I saw was Aquaman. So as many of you know, the Justice League, Batman versus Superman, those movies really weren't as widely accepted by comic book fans and non-comic book fans.
Mm-hmm.
They were sort of hit and miss, more misses than hits.
Yes.
Movies, but they came out with some great characters. Obviously, Wonder Woman kicked ass, and her movie did fantastic.
Right.
And was widely received by all audiences, including critics. And now Aquaman, Jason Momoa, his solo movie came out, and we saw a little bit of his history, a little bit with the Justice League. We were introduced to Mira, and who is played by Amber Heard. And so this is more his movie. We are introduced to his mother, Nicole Kidman, who is definitely... obviously, Nicole Kidman is a fantastic actress, and she was really perfect, I think, in this role. And Jason Momoa, too. He is now Aquaman. And it's just so perfect for him. And I will say, I was not on the fence when they introduced his character in Justice League. I thought he was a real bro. And
yeah.
I know that they were trying to really, because Aquaman is sort of a gay icon, gay superhero icon. And so I know they wanted to kind of make him, I don't want to say more masculine, but they wanted a different take on the character. So maybe he's taken a little bit more seriously, other than he can just talk to fish and move water and stuff like that. So obviously, Jason Momoa would be the absolute perfect, besides if The Rock was not available, you have Jason Momoa, who can bring a really great presence for this superhero and bringing the superhero to life. And he did a great job in this movie. The movie is probably, I would say, at least 30 minutes too long. It's a fun movie. I really liked the first half. And there were just a certain things that I didn't felt really fit, and it was felt a little bit more like Justice League. And so that was kind of my problems with it. And then of course the credits roll, and I see co-executive producer Zack Snyder.
And there's your reason. It's like,
well, that explains that. I know exactly what points in the movie he had his hands in. So I was a little disappointed by that, but they have a great foundation for the future with Aquaman and Wonder Woman. It will be very interested to see how they move forward without Superman and Batman, and what they do with those characters, because it sounds like Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck are done.
I don't know.
I mean, not Henry Cavill. I liked Henry Cavill.
I did too.
It was just a story. It's tough, but I will say that Aquaman is, Wonder Woman is the best DC movie,
right,
in this part of this franchise, and then Aquaman is obviously second. Right.
So do you recommend people go see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Atlantis is just incredible. They've done a really good job. There were some casting issues, I think. Patrick Wilson is a great actor. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to be playing Aquaman's brother, younger brother. Patrick Wilson is only a couple years. Oh, so Nicole Kidman plays their mother.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman is only about, I think, 5 years older than Patrick Wilson.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's like, we're like 45. Jason Momoa is what, probably my age. I don't know.
39. He's 39.
Okay.
Supposed to play the younger brother. I mean, it doesn't add up, and I don't know why they needed Patrick Wilson in that role necessarily when they could have gone with someone.
I mean, yeah.
Even I don't want to say. Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
There we go. I could see that a little bit. Just someone a little bit younger. Someone actually younger than Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
And I will say that there are some stereotypes in this movie with bad guys. And it was so blatant when it happened. This was within the first 10 minutes of the movie. And we're like, are you effing kidding me? That, oh, of course. It's kind of like the terrorists have to be Muslim. Along those lines, but it's not. It's skin color. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? The bad guy, all the bad guys are, I mean, besides Patrick Wilson playing the bad guy because he's his brother and all that stuff, but it's just like, it was pretty blatant. I'm not kidding. And obviously the diversity is great in this movie because Jason Momoa is not your typical white dude. He's Hawaiian, right. But anyway, Zack Snyder had his hand in it, and I just have a feeling that that's why this movie went off the rails a couple of times. Because it felt more like Justice League and Batman versus Superman when Aquaman was definitely making his own path. And I think that if they can finally get rid of Zack Snyder, I think that they are onto something. So speaking of that, this is why I want to transition to Bumblebee. I enjoyed the first Transformers movie.
I did too.
That was good. That was good, world building, things like that. And then they just started just to get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
You can't tell what action is going on because you have all these machines and stuff like that. This movie is the prime example of what happens when you take Michael Bay out of a movie franchise and it actually becomes watchable again.
Mm-hmm.
They did a fantastic job, and it is still set in this universe. It's kind of a prequel. It is a prequel. Of when Bumblebee first got to Earth, and you see Cybertron. I mean, it is so well done, and Hailee Steinfeld does such a great job in this movie.
I don't think anybody had any idea that this movie would be as well received and successful as it has been. Like, it was just this little, it's another Transformers movie.
Right.
And I honestly, I didn't really see a lot of promotion for it up until maybe a week before it came out. So I was like, I didn't even know this was happening. And then it's all of a sudden it has like huge high scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's this word of mouth that it's great.
It's good. And it's set in the 80s, which right now, obviously that's hot.
Right.
As it should be. And they did a really good job it feels like the 80s, but it also, the story makes sense. It's an easy plot. The action is simple and not simple. It's great, but it's easy, simple to follow. You can tell what's going on because a lot of times in some of the last few Transformers movies, you have no idea what's going on. Like, you just see robots going at each other and the action isn't clear. It's very clear in this movie. There are only two Decepticons that are after Bumblebee. It's a great, and plus it's a great relationship between Bumblebee and Hailee Steinfeld's character.
Mm-hmm.
And the romance too. There's sort of romance, but it's not romance. And they play around with that a little bit. It's just it's not too long. I think it's a great length. There's a lot of comedy, and it's good. I highly recommend going to see Bumblebee. And hopefully this means they can keep Michael Bay out of this franchise moving forward, because there'll be another movie. But it'll be interesting to see what exactly they do with it in between, if they stay in this kind of timeline between the 80s and 2000s when that first Transformers movie picks up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So anyway, highly recommend. Also, I saw Vice as well. That's
How was that?
The Cheney movie. It also kind of made sense after I saw it, because I went into it not knowing much about it.
Right.
This is going to be kind of like just like a sort of a documentary about Dick Cheney's life. Nope, not at all. So it reminds me of I, Tonya.
Okay.
There's not the necessarily talking, breaking the fourth wall, but it's also produced by Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Oh.
So, yeah. So there is definitely, they are definitely poking the mirror.
Right. How was Christian Bale?
Great.
Yeah, but I imagine.
It's his Batman voice. So that also kind of... So the first 15 to 30 minutes, you're getting used to like, oh, this isn't Batman, this is Dick Cheney. But Amy Adams is so good. So,
and who does she play?
She plays Lynn Cheney.
Oh, okay.
And also Lily Raby from American Horror Story plays one of his daughters.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Rockwell is...
Sam Rockwell is George W.
Yeah, George W. I bet he's good. Yeah, I bet he's good.
I definitely recommend this movie. It is a little more than 2 hours. It doesn't necessarily feel like it, but make sure you read some articles about where they might have stretched the truth a little bit. I mean, the big stuff that happens definitely happened. I mean, Dick Cheney is sort of... He's going to live forever because he has a new heart. And I will say that there were a couple surprises in there, especially with the narrator and what they did with that. And that is Jesse Plemons.
Oh!
Yep. From Friday Night Lights, mm-hmm. Fargo, and Breaking Bad. So he is the narrator of the film, and...
I love Jesse.
There's a surprise with who his character actually is. And you do find out who he is. Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of, you know, again, it's sort of in the vein of I, Tonya. So if you liked I, Tonya, you'll like this. Again, they stretched it. I know the post-credit scene is weird and doesn't really fit with the rest of the film. So just be careful of that. So anyway. So, yes, I recommend all three of those movies for all different reasons.
We're talking about good movies you recommend, but have you read the reviews about Holmes and Watson, that new movie with junk? It's really bad.
Really bad.
Really bad.
And Netflix said no to it.
I know. Because
so that tells you something right there.
Exactly.
And I think the last time they teamed up was for Step Brothers, right? Will Ferrell and...
I think they're trying to recreate that magic. From what I understand, it's just a mess, the whole thing. So,
yeah,
it's pretty bad. It gets to have like 6% now, but it had 0% for a while on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I liked reading about how people are just walking out and how terrible it was. So, yeah so no one's going to see that movie.
Nice job, Will. And
yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to our interview segment real quick. This is an interview with Kristen Thomas. She is a sex expert, and she's talking to us today about how you can spruce up your profile and how you can handle holiday parties, especially New Year's Eve parties as well, this time of year. So take a listen.
All right, today I am joined by Kristen Thomas. And Kristen, what exactly is your title?
I introduce myself as a relationship, dating, and sex coach.
Okay, so how did you gain the experience for this?
Well, I have a degree in psychology.
I was afraid to ask.
I was a weight loss coach for a long time. Okay. That's where I really found that I had a passion for helping people change their lives. And then as I got older and was in a career that I just wasn't passionate about, I thought about where did I want to go originally? And that was actually marriage therapy. Okay. But I am okay talking about human sexuality very openly. As long as it's sane, safe, and consensual, I'll talk about it with you. So after I was, again, in a job that I was unhappy with, trying to find my path again, mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast from a sex coach, and she talked about how and why she became one, yeah. and just had that moment where I connected with it and decided that's what I need to do in life. So,
gotcha. All right, so we're just a few days away from the big holiday season, and a lot of people, what they want for the holidays is not necessarily something you get from underneath a Christmas tree.
That's right. And a lot of them are looking for love.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's some advice that you can give someone that's looking to maybe find someone to go to a holiday party with?
That's a great question. I think just don't be afraid to ask someone that you've had your sights set on, because you never know what can happen. You may end up just being really great friends at the end of the night, or you may find that there's a spark. But I would say go into it saying, I'm not necessarily looking to couple up with this person, okay. but let's treat it as a date and see how it goes. And then if it goes well, do that again. But don't go into it with your sights set on, I want to make this person my partner, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. Just go have fun.
And sometimes that actually ends up being something, because there's not, I feel like sometimes with friends and stuff like that, there's not so much pressure
right.
that you're putting on a date, I guess.
Exactly. Or if you choose to go to that holiday party on your own, don't be afraid to ask for introductions. You know, you could be there with a friend who also brought a friend just because right. they didn't want to be by themselves, and maybe you'd hit it off with that person. Or maybe one of your colleagues or coworkers has a neighbor, a son, a cousin, a niece, right. you know. So just go have fun and be yourself, and maybe you'll just strike up a conversation with somebody and they'll make an introduction for you later too.
Gotcha. Okay, so a lot of people also have online profiles.
Yes.
So what should they be doing with their online profile?
Well, since you're going to holiday parties and you're going to be dressed up, have a friend take a couple of really nice pictures of you at that party and mm-hmm. upload them to your profile. It's time to spruce it up.
Right.
You know, show that you're current. If you've got your pictures that have been on there for over 6 months, it's time for some new ones. You know, maybe talk about something that's going on coming up with the holidays. Hey, even put it on your profile. I've got some holiday parties coming up. Who wants to be my date? You never know what you might catch.
Nice. Okay, so you're talking about updating your profile pic.
Mm-hmm.
What's some advice that you could give us on what maybe we should wear and maybe what we should not wear?
Good questions, because there's lots of profiles that I see out there, because that's one of the services that I offer, is looking at people's dating profiles okay. to help them just make sure they're putting their best foot forward and attracting the kind of mates that they want to.
Yeah.
Make sure that you've got a really nice face shot. Okay. Don't do pictures where you've got someone cropped out so it looks like, you know, a girl's hair.
We've all seen that.
Yeah, because we don't know if that's a coworker or your sister or your mom, but what we assume is that it's your ex.
Or hopefully it's your ex.
Well,
there are sometimes.
Maybe it's a current. So that's also a question sometimes. So no pictures that people are cropped out of.
Yeah.
Don't play the Where's Waldo, where it's you with tons of other people in every single picture, and they're trying to figure out who you are.
Which one?
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, what about the selfie? People love the selfies.
Selfies can be good.
Okay.
Of course, angles are a big deal.
Yep.
A lot of men out there tend to do a photo up. We know that up is not a good angle. The upward angle. But also make sure that you've got a full body shot. Again, since you're dressed up for the holidays, take a nice picture of you in your holiday dress or your holiday outfit.
Okay.
Maybe show something where you're traveling or show something with your pet. Gentlemen, no pictures of your hunting excursions from the fall. Leave those off.
Those are current, though.
They are current, yes, but nobody wants to see your dead animals.
Okay. All right, so we've been talking about the singles, but what about married couples?
Well, married couples, I think that the holidays are a really great time to reconnect. I think that this is a time to talk to each other about how this last year has gone, what you're really grateful for, and even talk about where you'd like to see your relationship go in the next year, especially if it's been a long time since you've had a vacation. Talk to each other about maybe that should be your Christmas present to one another this year. Is a weekend getaway or even just a week-long vacation to reconnect and reignite that intimacy again.
Gotcha. And maybe for those that have kids, definitely pay for that babysitter. So maybe you spend some time at a holiday party, but you can still kind of get away before you get home.
Yeah, maybe get a hotel room for the night. Send them off to your grandparents for the night. Make it a full night for yourselves where you're not having to rush out. And then, you know, behave yourselves because you got to come home to the kids. You know, give yourself a couple of nights through the holiday season to just be a couple again. That's really important for parents to still act like a couple, not just parents once they've got children.
When you mentioned the grandparents, grandparents love to have their grandkids over. So it's maybe a gift for both.
It's a gift for everybody, right? Yes.
All right, so any other advice that's good as we're getting close to the holidays, and we were talking about holiday parties, but we have New Year's around the corner. That's always so romantic.
It is. I've met a lot of couples who had their very first kiss on New Year's Eve just because they went to a party and found somebody that they hit it off with. So I think it's a really good thing to just go to those kinds of holiday parties by yourself. Or go to like a big, a lot of the restaurants in town have New Year's Eve parties. Not everyone there is in a coupledom. A lot of people are there by themselves. Grab your other single friends. Go together. Help each other as you go through that whole process of the night, picking each other out and playing wing woman or wing man for each other. And don't go into it trying to find a partner or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Right. Just go have fun and see who you meet. And then let that develop over time.
So we were also talking about the online profiles. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people are paying attention maybe more to the app on their phone than to what's going on around them.
That's very true. And that's something that I recommend to people is through the holiday season, just put your phone down. Don't walk through the mall on your phone the whole time. Don't sit at a bar while you're waiting for your friends on your phone the whole time. Be present and look around. I personally don't do any online dating apps or sites or anything. I only date people that I meet in person. And it's because I try to just look around and see who's there and who I happen to make eye contact with. I've met people in bars and airports. I've met people at the lake when I was out with friends. You never know when you can meet someone by just simply not paying attention to what's going on your phone, setting it down for a little while, and just having a conversation with people around you.
Okay, so if someone wants to get in contact with you, maybe they have some questions that we didn't go over today, how can they reach you?
They can find me on social media, of course. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Open the Doors Coaching. They can also email me. My website is openthedoorscoaching.com. Email is kristen@openthedoorscoaching.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-E-N.
E-N.
E-N.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kristen, so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too.
So, again, we want to thank Kristen Thomas for talking with me about some tips and tricks. And it is funny how she mentioned don't crop people out of your don't make a profile picture out of something that wasn't your profile picture.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen so many of those and friends who will do that, or even not even on like a dating app, but even like on your social media, whether it's
Instagram, I don't know.
It's just cropping people out and it doesn't look right. So.
As someone who hates like taking selfies and that sort of thing, like it's very awkward for me to not to take a photo by myself. Like I would hate like, and that's why I have to crop myself. Cause I'm like, I can't, I hate taking pictures of myself. I hate selfies.
Just make sure those people are standing far enough away where it doesn't.
I guess. And it's just so awkward. Like we're supposed to ask my friend, hey, I'm trying to take a nice picture of myself for my dating profile. Will you please take this for me before I get too drunk at this party?
All right, good advice. Okay, so we are almost done with 2018. So our next podcast, we are going to go over our best of, that we believe, of 2018 from TV shows and movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff this year. So I have to go back and rack my brain and make a list of some of our favorite movies and TV shows. And maybe we can do like even pop culture moments. Who knows?
Yeah.
What's our favorites in 2018?
Mm-hmm. So, and we'll also look ahead to 2019 and some of the things we have to look forward to.
It's going to be a big year, just pop culture wise. So,
yep. Excellent.
Okie dokie. All right. Well, this is it. Again, thank you, Podbean, for featuring us on Facebook. That was nice of you. And that's it. Until next time.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.